This morning, we are continuing our Lent series of journeying towards the cross. Jesus set his face like flint to move towards the cross. As you look at the Gospels with that perspective in mind, that this was a God-man, fully God, fully man, who was here for the purpose of journeying towards the cross, you start seeing that everything from the cradle to the cross was aimed at being a blessing to bring about the will of God, the plan of God, and the salvation of God to mankind. And as Jesus journeyed towards the cross and was a blessing in that journey, so we are called to be people who are blessed to be a blessing. Would you pray with me? Lord, we ask as we open your word that you would indeed guide this time together, that you would speak to us, that you would open your word that it might transform us, that we might be people who not just hear the word, but are changed by it. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. A blessing is a bestowment of the favor of God. When God created mankind, it said that he blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and exercise dominion over creation. There was a blessing. It was not just things given, but it was a bestowment through the spoken word. The account of Genesis begins with God speaking things into existence. He spoke the firmaments. He spoke the skies. He spoke the stars. He spoke the vegetation. He spoke the animal life. And he spoke human beings into existence through his word. And he continues to be a God who creates through the speaking forth of his word. And when he blessed them, it was words spoken that carried with them the power, the enablement, the favor of God. Our God is a speaking God, and he is a blessing God. He speaks blessing. So a blessing is a bestowment of the favor of God. And as you read through the rest of the Bible, you see time and time again, God is speaking forth blessing. The passage I read to the children is from Numbers chapter 6, where God is saying to the Israelites, now that you've come out of captivity, now that I've rescued you, now that you're being established, I want you to be people who share my blessing with each other. So this blessing was taught to them to be used repeatedly, day after day, as they spoke the will of God, the favor of God over one another. And what a blessing it is that the face of God would be brought into close connection with them, that they'd see the joy of God, the lit up face of God as they looked up in prayer, that this encounter would be real. It would not just be facts and figures or historical events, but that they would be people who experienced the presence, the manifest presence of God on an ongoing basis. How is this brought about? Well, one aspect of it was the spoken blessing. A blessing. And we are called to be people who follow the example set by us and are blessers. We are to be ones who speak forth the favor of God and declare blessing on one another. Now, why is this important? Consider these almost scary words from Proverbs. Proverbs 12:18 says, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Reckless words destroy, piercing like a sword. Good words, blessing words, the tongue of the wise brings healing. Do you believe that? A word, a simple word, can either destroy or heal, hurt or help. The word is powerful. The word from the lips of God created all that is. The words from your lips are either building up or tearing down. Or Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Or Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. A prized gem, a treasure, is a word fitly spoken. Your words help or hinder? What kind of words are coming out of your mouth? I wish I'd found the resource that Randy was telling me about a test being done of speaking curse words or blessing words over water and it affecting the molecular structure of the water itself. Or I've seen studies where people raised test plants, and as the plants were growing, they either spoke curses over them or blessings over them. I don't know about how that strikes you, but when I first heard that, I thought, oh, that's just superstition. That's just craziness. But then you start comparing it to Scripture. And Scripture says the words either pierce like a sword or bring healing. There's power in the word. Why would God instruct the Israelites to bless each other? Why would he do it? Unless he knew that it had a positive impact. Why did Jesus take little children on his lap and speak words of blessing over them? Because he knew it had an impact. I ask you the question, what do you think those kids heard when Jesus put them on his lap and started speaking over them? I love the two examples that the kids came up. Would Jesus actually say that to a child? Pick him up, put him in his arms, and say the words, I love you? Doesn't that sound like the heart of God? Or, I forgive your sins? There was a thief on a cross who heard similar words right before he breathed his last. What a blessing he received. And just as God pronounces his truth and therefore brings about spiritual reality through that pronouncement, so you and I are people who speak blessing and bring about the favor of God through our declarations. Will you become a blesser? Will you become a person who declares the will of God, the favor of God, and releases the blessing of God? The Hebrew word for blessing is baraka. I remember hearing about a place in New York City called the Baraka House. I didn't really know what it was because I didn't look up the word. But then I discovered later that baraka is that word for blessing. So this house was a blessing house. It was a place in the 1800s where they invited the homeless or the destitute or widows and orphans to come and be ministered to. It was a place where they spoke blessing over people and spoke the healing of God over people. And numerous lives were restored as those baraka houses ministered to the most needy in the society in New York City. The Greek word for the word blessing is where we get the English word eulogy from. Eulogy, a spoken blessing. When do you hear a eulogy? Almost only at funerals do we use that word. I heard a couple of wonderful eulogies, or a number of them, about a couple of wonderful people over the last month. Wonderful spoken words of the impact that this person had had in someone's life. But what if we didn't wait until they were dead? What if a eulogy, a blessing, a spoken blessing was declared on an ongoing basis? A couple days ago, I listened to a CD from folks on the family called Macaroni at Midnight. It was about a handicapped Native American born in the 30s with severe cleft palate, unable to speak, extremely disfigured. He recounts his testimony of how he was forced to go to public school and there, day after day, heard the ridicule and the slurs and the words that just cut to his soul. He said he went home after that first day of trying to go to school and went up into his bedroom and just tried to cover his ears, but the words kept coming over and over and over as he heard those kids ridiculing him. Those hurtful words, those words that pierced like a sword, were powerful. And for years, this kid growing up felt all that weight and all that shame and all that worthlessness as he believed those words. but then a teacher, a woman in the community, took him in and started speaking blessing words over him. One of the most powerful words she spoke over him was, "You can learn." He hadn't heard it. Even though he'd been in school, even though he'd been going to class, even though teacher after teacher had been assigned to him, they'd all just pushed him aside. One even locked him in the closet to keep him out of the room and disrupting things. But this woman in the community poured herself into this child, and the blessing of the simple statement, "You can learn," transformed his life. He went on to earn his PhD and go back on the reservation and be a blessing to many. What are the words that God wants to speak into the life of an individual, and he's wanting you to be the speaker of? What are the words of blessing that God wants to speak into the life of a child, and he's wanting you to be the proclaimer of? I believe that our journey towards the cross is a journey towards learning to bless like God blessed. Your words are powerful and effective, just as your prayers are powerful and effective. When I was going through the teacher training at North Dakota State University, earning my teaching degree, one of the things they talked about there was the idea of a self-fulfilling prophecy. And they always seemed to use it in the negative. They said, if a child comes into your class and you are told by last year's teacher of that child that this child is a problem, this child is trouble, this child is disruptive. In fact, not only is he disruptive, but the brothers and sisters that I've had before him were disruptive. So I'm really sad for you that you're getting this child, but I'm glad he's no longer in my class and I can shove him off to you. Well, what does a new teacher think? And more importantly, what does a new teacher do? How does she treat that child? And what oftentimes happens is that prophetic statement spoken by last year's teacher over that child affects the new teacher so that it's done again, and that teacher assumes he's going to be trouble and already starts shutting him off to the side, shoving him off to the side, shutting him down, expecting his work to be a letter grade lower than it really was. The fulfilling prophecy. Now, is that just a teacher philosophy, or is that true of how God works in everybody's life? Let me ask you this. What message would God give to that person in front of you? What message would God give to your coworker? What message would God give to your neighbor? What message would God give to the people of your own family? Your job is to figure it out, to seek God's face and say, God, what do you want to say to this person? And then your job is to say, let me be used by you to proclaim it over them. Let me become a blesser, like you are a blesser. Another fascinating account of Jesus' blessing is at the end of his ministry. Luke chapter 24, verse 48. Jesus talking to his disciples right before his departure, saying to them, "You are witnesses of all these things, and I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, which is the Holy Spirit. But stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, lifted up his hands, and what do you think he did? Right before he leaves, he promises them a few things. He talks about the Holy Spirit coming, the power that will receive from that indwelling presence of God. Leads them out onto a hillside called Bethany, near Bethany. Raises up his hands. He didn't just wave. He didn't just say, bye-bye. He was speaking blessing. It says he raised up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he was taken up into heaven. The last thing Jesus was doing as he was being raised up into heaven was blessing his followers. And Jesus is still doing that in his role there, seated at the right hand of God. He's interceding for us, but he's also declaring blessing over us. And we are called to be like Jesus, people who raise up our hands, who look to the people around us and speak the words of God over them, who bless them. Would you take on the challenge of becoming better blessers? Better blessers. Take on the challenge of removing the curse words. Removing that negative self-fulfilling prophecy thing that so easily could happen. And when you become a person who more and more speaks words of blessing, what might you say? In fact, I'd like to get a little interactive here. I know it's scary to think about actually talking during a sermon, but let's pretend that we're a different culture in a different part of the world, and there's some going back and forth type of thing going on. Maybe you've experienced that type of church before. It's fascinating. I can remember preaching one time, and all of a sudden they're in the back saying things like, "Yeah, give them more, Lord. Give them more, Lord." And it's like, they want more from me. Okay, well, it just drew it out of me. So it's okay to be interactive once in a while. What might God want to say over someone that's in your life? What's a message he might want you to declare over someone? A statement he might want you to make? Let me hear a few ideas. Sometimes it helps to hear someone else say something. Lyle? Right. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord bless you, that's a bestowal of favor. Keep you, that's protection. That's surrounding you. That's holding you tight. That's not losing you. That's a wonderful statement. And notice what the part of it was. May the Lord do this. When you speak a blessing, you're speaking the word of the Lord. That's an excellent one. What's another thing that might be a word that God wants you to speak over someone? A blessing. May you have a blessed day versus a cursed day versus an ordinary day versus a day filled with trouble. May your day be blessed, filled with the favor of God, the benefit of God. God sees you. Now, is that biblical? When you say a statement, we want it to be a statement not just originating out of the human psyche or human thoughts. We want it to be something in alignment with God's truth. Because if it's God's truth that we speak, then it's got God's power. God sees you. Is that biblical? Absolutely. What a powerful reminder that God is watching over you. Wonderful. What was that? May God give you peace. Yeah. Boy, how many people need God's peace? And as we declare that, might it actually not just be a word, but actually something that comes with effect? Something that comes with effect that causes the will of God to be brought about and the peace of God to be experienced? Yeah. Any others?
You are the apple of his eye.
You are the apple of his eye. That's biblical. That's all right out of Scripture. Reminding someone of that. Maybe they'd stand up a little straighter. Maybe they'd go into a tough environment with a little more courage. But they know that God cherishes them. What a powerful reminder. I look around and I see some parents of youngsters. Think about sending your kids off to school with a blessing like that, a reminder like that, an encouragement like that. How that would affect their thinking. Oh, they still might encounter bullies. They still might encounter pop quizzes they hadn't prepared for. There might be stuff that doesn't go the way they wanted to. They might forget their lunch money or something. But still, God will be with them, watching over them. There was a father who was learning about blessing, and he started the habit of speaking a blessing over his children as he put them to bed. And he wanted it to be a very specific blessing, and the words of it are scriptural, but he brought them all together and turned it into this statement. And he spoke it over his kids every night at bedtime. God bless you with grace and peace, power and protection, health and healing, holiness and godliness, abundance and prosperity, and all the fruit and all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there's a lot there. But he spoke that day after day, evening after evening, over his children. Now, what effect did that have on the kids? Well, one interesting thing happened one night. He'd worked hard and long, got home late, thoughts were all jumbled with the stresses of life. As he was putting his kids to bed, he, by habit, put them into bed and put his hand on the forehead and started speaking this blessing, but he absent-mindedly forgot one phrase of it. Well, that little girl grabbed his hand as he started pulling it away and said, but Daddy, you forgot the power and the peace. She knew she needed what God was given to her through her daddy. Could you be people who speak the blessing like that? There's numerous scriptural passages that can be turned into blessings. Some of them are already packaged that way. We speak benedictions over you at the close of each service. May God do this, may God do that. That's a blessing already written out that way in Scripture. Other passages can be turned into a blessing because it's the will of God. Now we want to turn it into a statement, a declaration of the will of God over a person. Let me close by reading over you Psalm 20. I've adapted it a little bit to turn it into a blessing. But would you receive it as from God? In fact, would you act out faith like the little kids did and put your hands out like you're going to catch something that's coming to you? Catch a nugget of God's blessing and hang on tight to it when it comes and receive it as from the Lord. An adapted blessing from Psalm 20. I speak over you. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help and grant you support. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May the Lord grant you all your requests. And now, God, we ask that you would help us to follow you on the journey to the cross as you continually blessed from cradle to cross. Help us to be blessers. Help us to receive your word, not just as facts and figures or ideas, but as actually the bestowment of your favor. And then, Lord, may we receive it in such a way and appropriate it so much into our life that it bubbles out of us to the others around us. May we become ones who speak blessing. May we be ones who speak your will. May we be ones who declare your favor. And may the people around us receive those blessings as from you. May they truly have their faces lifted up. May they truly receive the awareness of the protection that being kept safe by God. May they truly understand that you are welcoming them into a face-to-face encounter where your smile is bestowed upon them. May they receive your peace. May they go through their day with an awareness of your presence. May faith erupt as by person after person, generation after generation, people are raised up to know you and live for you. We We pray this in Christ's name for his glory.